Welcome to Island Baptist Church. Today's sermon is Matthew 28, Every Day, All the Time.
The title of the sermon today is, Every Day, All the Time. Who God is, what He does. I read an article not too long ago. I looked it up on the internet afterwards. I couldn't remember where I read it, and it ended up being posted in a number of places. It was from Barna. If you know anything about Barna, they do a lot of surveys and a lot of, surveys and a study, there's the word, it's right there on my notes. Should read it. A study was conducted by Barna, and it said that 51% of churchgoers did not know what the Great Commission was. And it doesn't mean they don't necessarily know the passage, but the term Great Commission is not really in the Bible, but it's a term that we use for, well, it's a verse in the Bible, a couple verses in the Bible. And we sang about it this morning. The song that we sing in the contemporary service quite a bit, the purpose song. It says, our ambition, our purpose, our mission is tell the world about Jesus, fulfill the Great Commission, which is what this church is about. And so it's found in Matthew chapter 28 in your Bible. You can take your Bible and you can turn there if you'd like. We're going to spend most of our time there. The other verses we look at, we're going to put them on the screens and go by pretty quickly. So Matthew chapter 28, what we're going to do today is we're going to go through the passage two times. And so you get two sermons for the price of one. Like the first time is going to be, we're going to look at what God says, what the passage says about God. And then the second time through, we are going to look at what God's word is saying to us. So Matthew 18, we're going to read it here. It says, Matthew 28, verses 18 and following. Is it not up there? How's it going?
I don't see it.
I don't see it either. Oh, crash. That's why it crashed. Well, I'm going to wait because I don't actually have it with me. Isn't that horrible? I have all the other verses, but I didn't print that one out. Here, it's coming back. Hang on. I'd like to blame it on our tech guy, but I won't. By the way, our tech guys are marvelous. You know, every time you don't notice them, they're doing a great job. Here it is. Then Jesus came to them, and he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And so there we have the Great Commission. That's the verses that we call the Great Commission. Some of Jesus' final words to his disciples, some of his final words to us. And so we're going to look at who God is in all of this. The first thing we want to look at is there in verse 18. It says, Jesus came and he said, all authority is given to me. So all authority, God has all authority. You have none, I have none, we have zero. Right? God has it all. If someone has it all, nobody else has any. Right? That's we're exploring the word all because it's used a lot in this passage. So who he is very important. He's coming to his disciples at this point, and what happened is at this point in the scripture, if you'll read running up to it, is that Jesus died, he came back to life, but the disciples hadn't seen him yet, and the ladies went to the tomb, and they saw him, and they came, and they said, oh, he's alive, and they're going like, well, you know, okay, maybe. And he says, we're supposed to meet him at this place, and this passage comes when they meet him at that place. So let's look at the disciples' journey they've already had. They were heathen to start with, many of them. They were people off the books of spirituality at all, most of them, not all of them. But they moved to faith, to doubt, to denying, to disbelief, to right now. And what already happened in Jesus' life, we've studied the miracles in Mark out in our Laguna Heights study over the past 6 or 8 weeks when I was teaching out there when Bill was here. And some of the highlights of the miracles of Mark, Jesus already proved who he was through these miracles, what he did in his life. He looked into heaven. The heavens opened for him. People saw that. He healed possessed people. He healed the lepers. the warped limbs, the bleeding people, the blind, the crippled. He fed thousands with almost nothing. He walked on the water. He controlled the wind and the wave. He raised people from the dead. And then finally, he came back from the dead. And this is the Jesus who comes right now and says, all authority is given to me. And he comes to his disciples and he says, kind of in a way, perhaps, you know, you believe me, but you didn't. But, you know, we've all had those same things where we believe God and then he just ups the game a little bit, right? We go, I believe God, but wow. And so here he comes back from the dead, and Jesus has proved all authority is given to him. So what else can we learn about God from this passage? Verse 19, if you look right there, it says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. There's that word again, all nations. And so what we learn about God from this passage here is that he loves everybody. The story of the Good Samaritan says that there were two people who were from completely different backgrounds, socioeconomic, religious, everything. They were different. One fell along hard times, was beat up alongside the road. The other person reached down and helped him. And as Jesus told the story to the person, he said, who was the neighbor to the person who got hurt? It's the person that helped him. And Jesus says, go to all nations. And that means all races. It means all behavioral groups, people who do stuff you don't approve of, people who do stuff the Bible doesn't approve of. That's who God loves. People of different political systems. Guess what? God loves people who are under the monarchy. That he loves people who are under socialism and communism, and he loves people here. He loves people on both sides of the aisle here. You got the fringe on both sides that don't represent really anybody because they're wackos. You got a bunch of people who have disagreements about a lot of stuff, and then you have people in the middle that really don't know where they are, and God loves all of them, all of us. From the poorest of the poor, God doesn't care about your economic situation. God says all. Doesn't care how fit you are, how beautiful you are, how skinny or fat or beautiful or ugly you are. He doesn't care. Scriptures teach us that God loves all people. And he tells us to go to all nations. So God's kind of into this all or nothing thing, right? He's saying, but God, no, we can't exclude anybody. So then we can learn something else about God in verse 20 here. Verse 20, it says, teaching them to obey everything. So everything is another form of all, you know, because if you have everything, if I have everything, how much do you have? You have nothing, because I have everything. When you cut that piece of pie, And I eat, like, I get all of it, you get none of it, or vice versa. And so, what he says is, I want you to obey all my commands. So what's God saying about himself? He said, everything I do is right, everything is good. You know the Lord's Prayer, right? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Guess what's happening in heaven as far as God's rules are concerned? They're all being kept. That's what makes it heaven. There's no more sickness. There's no more crying. There's no more war. There's no more problems because people are doing the right thing. They're thinking like God and they're doing like God. And the scriptures teach us that God cares about all of his commands. He's an all or nothing God. He's an all in kind of God. And then in 1 Peter, the scriptures teach us, it says, you be holy because I'm holy. That's what God says. You follow the laws. You be perfect. Now, we know we can't. That's why Jesus came. The grace of Jesus makes up what we can never make up. There's no way we can be good enough to get into heaven, and the blood of Christ covers that. But at the same time, for believers, those who already believe, it's our job to continue to try to be holy and be like God and obey all his commands. So God is all commands, and then the last thing on our first run through, and that surprises you, right? You thought it would take long. Verse 20, look at verse 20. And teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you. How often?
Always.
Always. He is always present with us. Scriptures teach us in Ephesians that it says, let me put it up there. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. When you became a believer in Jesus Christ And of course, if you're not, this doesn't apply to you. But if you're a believer in Jesus Christ here today, you've given your life to him, you've repented from your sins, you believe he's who he said he was, then at that point, you were sealed, the official seal of God, with the Holy Spirit who came and lives inside of you, and he's always present with you. In Hebrews, it says, he says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. And even in the Old Testament, God promises to those who walk in faith, God is our refuge, our strength, and ever-present help in time of trouble. He's always with us. He's always present. And this is our great, great God. God is an all type of God. He is a thorough and he is a complete God. He's an everyday, all the time God. He's a good, good Father. You know, there's a song about that. It talks about how good he is. We continually we sing his praise because he is so good. He's every day, all the time, God. My girls, when they're growing up, they're now 30. I had a number and I forgot. How old are our girls? 33 and 27 then. So, and we didn't do everything right as parents, that's for sure. But one of the things we tried to do with our kids as they were growing up is we tried to make sure that they knew that they were loved. And so somewhere along the line, I can't tell you how it happened, but I can tell you that it happened. It was very meaningful for us, and they would tell you it's very meaningful for them, that we came along this idea that we would tell them we loved you, and I would tell them, I love you every day, all the time, no matter what. They had a good day, they behaved well, I would tell them that. They had a bad day, I would tell them that. Kim would tell them, we would tell them that, and what happened was, and let me just show you a picture. So first day of school comes about. There's my oldest on her first day of school backpacking some however many years ago that was. Then my youngest, who was 6 years later, that's her about the same age. She homeschooled, didn't actually go away to school. And so they got on the bus, but what happened was we would tell them that, and they would tell us back, and then we would take our index fingers, and we would point and touch each other. And somewhere along the line, one of them or one of us started making a noise that went with that. You know how these family traditions, you don't really know how they started, but you got them. So they go, every day, all the time, I love you no matter what. And then they would say something back to us or vice versa. And then we would touch fingers. And then we would go, bzzz. And that became the official sign of what all that meant. But when they got to school and started getting a little older, guess what? It was a little embarrassing for you to say that out in public. And so what happened was it kind of became smaller and smaller. And as they got older, we would still say that in private, but in public, like, Dad, come on. So it just became the touch fingers real quick, and they're like, that was okay. And then it became from a distance, just a little point. And it meant the same thing as every day, all the time, no matter what, guess what? I love you. And that's who God is. God is the every day, all the time, no matter what, he loves you. Some of you need to hear that today. You didn't feel it this week. You forgot about it. You got caught up in things. You need to know that is the God. Even in the middle of the Great Commission, when he's given us this great task to do, we see who he is. Well, we're going to go through the passage twice. We've looked about in the passage about who God is, and now we're going to look at about our assignment and what he says to us. So in verse 26, it says, right, 26? No, it's not verse 26. Where is it? Verse 19. I scratched over the verse number in here. He says, therefore, in light of everything we just learned, in light of what we already talked about, who Jesus is, his whole life, what he did, he proved he was the Son of God, all the miracles, all the things he did for everybody, including dying for our sins, which they weren't really understanding how that worked just yet. I mean, they're just new to this. He just came alive. But he says, therefore, since I have all this authority, because I'm who I said I was, then in verse 19 it says, go. Go. And it would be nice if you could just say, well, he said go. And that one time I went. And now I'm done, right? But that is not the message here. It's go. And as you go, and while you're going, and observe, and then go. And whenever you're going, and when you see a need, go. And pick a place sometimes, because you don't feel anything, but you pick a place and you go, and while you're going, and go, go, and always be going. That's what it's saying there. Therefore, go. Your rest of your life is about what? It's about going. Mission opportunities and trips come up. A ministry opportunities, a cup of cold water, a cup of hot chocolate, whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord. And mission offerings, they're not going. That's not going. But that's helping someone else go. But so you should give the mission opportunities so people can go. But your job is not to just give, right? It's to go. You can watch TV or you can go. You can get comfortable or you can go. And when you don't feel like it, guess what? You can go. And when your kids get a certain age, you don't have to wait till then to get go. You don't have to wait till you reach a certain age or retirement level or anything to go. You just go. We're to be continually and always going with the mission. Jesus has commissioned us to go. So when we go and as we go, what do we do? Well, we look at verse 19. And I'm a couple slides behind here because I just got excited. And we make disciples. That was the next part in verse 19 there. Go and make disciples. Make. We're ambassadors for our Lord. We represent Him, and we are in charge of making. It says here in Corinthians, we're Christ's ambassadors. We represent Him as though God were making His appeal through us, which guess what? He is. Every time we go, He's working in and through us in spite of us, and we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We're telling people the good news of who Jesus is. So we go and we make disciples. And the word make is active. You don't accidentally make stuff. Kim doesn't go into the kitchen and just cakes accidentally come out of the oven. They don't. Here's a story of that never happened. One day, I didn't go out into my workshop. And then I didn't look for any great ideas on Facebook or Pinterest, and I didn't design or plan anything, and I didn't cut or chisel or sand or drill, and then I didn't sand or paint or varnish, and then suddenly, I had a whole giant bag of wonderful wooden toys come out. The story that never happened, right? All the things, all your good intentions to go, all your good intentions to make, they don't just happen. You have to decide. We don't accidentally make anything of value. Even scientists, when they accidentally create or discover something, they were trying to make something, and then they happen on something else. So it's our job. We have been commissioned to go. We have been commissioned to go. It's our job. It's my job. It's your job. But it's also our job. It's also my job. And it's your job. It's your task to go and to make disciples. Jesus didn't say, live a great life and disciples will accidentally get made in the wake of all your good life. He says, go and make disciples. Now, it's not that living a godly life is not important. He's already said that, right? All teachings need to be observed, so we need to be continuing to grow, but we can't disciple people past our level of learning and our level of commitment to God. You're not going to teach people to do better than you are most of the time, almost all the time. I could teach some of you guys how to weld. Anybody here weld? Anybody know how to weld in here? Great. But if I taught you how to weld, you would only come for one lesson, especially those who know how to weld. I have welded, and I actually got two pieces of pipe stuck together, but it was ugly. And the first couple times, I banged on it with the hammer, and they fell apart. I could teach you how to weld, but I can only teach you to the level that I know how to weld, right? And so if we're going to go make disciples, we have got to continue to be disciples. So as we go, we need to continue to do and work on ourselves also. Talk about that more in just another minute. Third thing, on our task, our side, it says baptize. In verse 19, it says, Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So it's our job to baptize. Now, baptism is immersion, and it represents our immersion in God. It represents dying to our old self. And some of you, perhaps today, and you need to be baptized. You've just never done that. And so at the end of the service, during our altar call, if you want to come and you want to say, I'm ready to be baptized, then you're obeying this great commission. You're being baptized. But baptism represents being immersed, fully encompassed by who God is. So not only should we be immersed in water as a sign of the inward change, but immersed in the things of God. You know, we talk about make disciples and baptizing, being immersed in stuff. You know some people who are all immersed in something? I mean, I know people who are immersed in stuff. All things Cowboys. Nobody cares here. But some people, my wife's smiling real big. You got a Cowboy thing on right now? No, because they played Thursday. But some people, all things Cowboys. Boy, you know, the conversation out, and they're going to turn it to Cowboys. Some people, it's all things fishing. Yeah, a little more of that in here, huh? Yeah. All things winter Texan dinner specials. I mean, the conversation is always going to turn to what our thing is, right? I mean, we don't mean to do that, but that's who we are. As believers, we should be baptized and so immersed in the things of God that all things turn back to God. All things start with Him. All things end with Him. And now we need to be judicious because the world's not ready to hear it all the time in their face, and you have to be judicious about that. You have to trust the Spirit. But we need to be immersed in all things Jesus mentality. And lastly, our last task from this passage in verse 20. Teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded them. So again, we come onto the problem that if we're supposed to teach them, that means we need to be learners. We need to be learners. And we're not going to be above our teacher. A student's not above his teacher, nor is a servant above his master. But it's enough for a student to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If we spend time with God, that will help us to be more like Him. If we spend time with Jesus, that will help us to be more like Him. Some of you, your commitment today may need to be that you need to start getting with God every day. I'm telling you, it's like practicing the keyboard or practicing any instrument or practicing anything you want to be good at. If you pick it up once a week, i.e. church here, and that's what you get, and you come for a good hour, I'm telling you what, you're better off 10 minutes a day learning a skill than you are cram time. Not that you don't need to be at church, I'm not saying that, because we need to be together. But it's more important that you spend time. And if you're not doing anything, we provide on the table back there open windows in our daily bread, quick devotionals. You can read one chapter a day in one of the books of the Bible, New Testament somewhere probably to start. But you're not going to be like Jesus if you aren't spending time with Him. So we're supposed to teach with our words, but we're also supposed to teach with our lives. Galatians 5 has the fruit of the Spirit, and we are supposed to be fruit of the Spirit representatives. You know, you really want to teach a strong sermon with your life, let this stuff just come out of your life. Let love be there. Let joy. Let people see peace in your life. Let people see how patient you are with those irritating people. Let people see how kind you are and how good and faithful you are. Let them see gentleness when other people would just blow up. Let them see self-control in your life. Well, you want to teach people. People are going to say, I want some of that. I need some of that. So God's a full-service God. Are we full-service Christians? A number of years back when All Things Light started coming out. You remember back in the day, All Things Light came out. There was I don't even know what year it was, but I remember being around for it, and all of a sudden they introduced, you know, like snack wells, like light versions of everything. Even light, the first light beers, like now light beers everywhere, but They had light beer. They had this version, and they had the light version. And I penned part of a song, and I went looking for it, and I can't only remember a few lines from it, but it says this about the Christian light in that era. We have the thing that's full body, the thing that's full and rich, full of flavor, full of whatever goodness that you want. But hey, you want a little bit less. And these words came back ringing in my mind about the Christian light. It says, he doesn't handle much sin. He's a two-thirds repenter. He gives a third less tithe. He's a 7%. And we look at God's, and this is not about giving. It's not what this sermon's about. But that's the idea, is that whatever God says, I'm going to give just a little bit less. Whatever God requires, I'm just going to give a little bit less. But we're to teach with our lips and our lifestyle to say, I'm full on board with God and who he is. He's in every day, all the time, no matter what, God. That's how he is to us. And the question is, are we that to him? But more importantly, I want you to ask the question, not in the we, because we can get lost in the we. Ask this question. Am I, and every day, all the time, no matter what, server of God? We are his representatives. Sometimes we're good, sometimes we're not so good, but we're always there. God doesn't want part-timers. He doesn't want just Sunday morningers. He doesn't want halfwayers. And he doesn't want to know if I could just find some timers. He wants every day, all the time, servants of his purpose and his will. So as we examine ourselves, we think back maybe to the senior sermon and the thankometer. There it is. A little fat and a little wide. Need to work on that. But what if we took the thankometer and we changed it up a little bit and we just turned it into, and that looked perfect on my screen. It still does, by the way, just so you know. The servometer. And we just dialed in. And what if during the invitation time we did something different and we took a servometer and we passed it around, and the pastor's got to just decide and help you evaluate how well you're serving? Well, let me tell you what that would be. That would be religion at its very worst. I don't want you doing that to me, and you don't want me doing that to you. But what we do is when we look in God's perfect law, when we look at his perfect liberty and we evaluate ourselves, we say, hey, I'm coming up a little short in some of these areas. And if your gas tank's on empty, what do you need to do? You need to do something about it. You need to fill it up. So maybe today some of you need to fill up. You need to get more consistent in the Word. You're not putting it in like you need to. You're not having that spiritual fuel. Maybe you need to get up because you're sitting around too much and you're not engaging people and you're not going. Maybe you need to speak up. You got to overcome the fear to say, I don't know how to say spiritual things. You need to find the courage to find a way. And everybody doesn't have to be Paul. Everybody doesn't have to go on and be shipwrecked and travel town to town. Everybody's not called to do that. I'm not talking about turn from here to there. I'm talking about saying, what can we do? You know, sometimes when you go to the gas station, you're in a hurry. You don't have time. Maybe you don't have the money. You know, a couple bucks will get you to the next spot, right? So speak up. Do that next thing. And then perhaps some of us here today need to live up. Live up to the teachings we already know. We need to quit being a two-thirds repenter. We need to start repenting of those things that God's already convicting about us. Our band's going to come up, and they're going to get ready for our ending song. And as they do, I want you to consider what the Lord may be speaking to you about this morning. It may be something completely different than anything I've talked about. It's fine. The altar's going to be open for prayer. I'll be up here with our chairman of deacons, Mickey Furcron, who's going to be up here to pray with you if you need to. Why don't you stand with me, if you would, as we pray and ask God's blessing on this time of invitation. Father God, we thank you for who you are and how wonderful you are. And we pray, Lord, during this time of invitation, you'll speak to each heart. And God, that you will have your way in every life. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for visiting. Find us at www.islandbaptist.org.